Greetings, little one.
Are you a good witch or a bad witch?
That witch?
I'm not a witch, I'm your wife.
What makes you think she is a witch?
Well, she turned me into a newt.
A newt.
Wouldst thou like to live deliciously?
Got better.
Dost thou comprehend?
Welcome to Real Magic, the podcast at the crossroads of real witchcraft and Hollywood magic, where paganism and the supernatural meet their reflections in movies and television, and where we talk about what real magical or life lessons we can learn from fictional witches from 100 years of moving pictures.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
Hey there, witches and weirdos, and welcome to another episode of Real Magic. I'm your host, Jessica Mason, and I'm happy to have you back with us today. So if you're a listener, you know I've had some of the wonderful witches from That Witch Life podcast on, and last March I was over on That Witch Life talking to the wonderful Kanani about movies and media and magic. And in that conversation, we started going off about Charmed and how much we loved it. So I decided to have Kanani on to spend a whole hour talking about Charmed, and that's what we're doing today. We're talking about Charmed. We'll also be talking a little bit about Supernatural because I just can't help it, but it's also, you know, there's some connections to Charmed. But it was great to have Kanani on to talk about Charmed. It's great to be back, and thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy our conversation today about the power of three. All right. Welcome back, Kanani of That Witch Life, to your second time on Real Magic. And this is like a sequel because you had me on That Witch Life about a few weeks ago, and we ended up talking a lot about Charmed. And so we had to continue the Charmed discussion here.
That's right. Now, I was late in my love for Charmed. It was yet another series that I started watching like 10 years after it was over. But once I found it, I was absolutely hooked on it. So I can talk Charmed for hours. Okay, this morning I watched 3 episodes just because they're on. Like that's, if it is on, I will watch it. Like that's how it works.
For such a long time, I worked a job where I was like 11 to 8 o'clock. It was like a phone center job. And so in the morning, I'd go work out at like my apartment's gym, and Charmed was always on at the gym. And so I'd like end up staying longer on like the elliptical. I'm like, I want to see the end of this episode.
Yep. Like, oh no, I don't know what it is. It's so hard for me to like pinpoint what it is about it that I love so much, but if it is on TV, I will stop and I will watch it because I just am absolutely obsessed with that show.
It's a comfort show. I think it's very comforting. Like, you know, there's monsters and stuff, but it's not like it's Charmed is very rarely scary.
No, it's not ever scary. And I think the thing that I enjoy so much about it is that as fanciful as it can be, there is enough kind of heartache and chaos to make it super relatable. You know what I mean? Like nothing just magically works out. You know what I mean? Like shit happens and they have to figure out a way to deal with that and grow from that and regroup from it or change plans. And I think that's part of what makes it so fun is the fact that, you know, yes, they're fighting demons, which, you know, I don't do, but, you know, on some level you can relate to these characters and appreciate their struggles.
Yeah. Like from the get-go, they kind of set up this moral framework for the show, which is pretty interesting. They say, you know, you can't do magic for personal gain, which kind of in contrast to the way a lot of us use our magic.
Well, and you know, what's funny too is there's plenty of episodes where they are in fact using magic for personal gain. Yeah. So you can tell as they progress through the season, they kind of let that slide.
Yeah. And you know, they're like, well, also like staying alive when you're being attacked. That's the biggest personal gain you could do, or saving your loved one. That's, you know, there's some gain there, but there's also some selflessness. But yeah, it's interesting. So they can't use magic to like solve their boy problems or, you know, their shitty boss or that sort of thing. So it's, they have to kind of deal with everything. Though I guess Piper uses magic for personal gain all the time when she's like, something's falling down and she freezes it, which would be the best power.
Oh, hers. Piper is absolutely my favorite character.
Yeah. Piper's the heart of the show. I think that,
I mean,
I have to say that
Piper's Piper was always my favorite character. I think probably because I related to that character the most, just because it was the more maternal character, which was kind of always who I've been and who I was in friendships and things like that.
Were you like, always the mom friend?
I was always the mom friend. Yes, I was so. Always the one that would tell you what you needed to hear, even if you didn't want to hear it. And, you know, would bring ice cream or whatnot if you needed to cry, and, you know, would comfort you, but not blow smoke up your ass. You know, that, that was never my place. And so I think with her, I related to her character so much. And I think as much as I love the Piper Leo love saga, I have to say my favorite coupling, and this is going to make me very unpopular, was definitely Phoebe and Cole.
I mean, that's like the best drama of the whole show. Yes! Like it was so, I mean, that went on for like 3 or 4 seasons.
Oh yeah.
So epic, and, you know, kind of ended up so tragic. And
I
kind of loved that too. I was very invested.
Aside from the very last episode, which I am a huge, 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 huge fan of, and I've probably seen it 100 times, because if there's nothing on to watch, I have it saved on my DVR, and I will watch the last episode of Charms. I would have to say, I think the episodes with Cole are some of my absolute favorite.
I think it's like the strongest, like, long overarching plot they did. Once Cole got in, and then especially once Paige came in, they had a lot more like big, longer plots that went very much from what folks call, you know, monster of the week episodes,
yes, to
bigger serialized things. And they had some really cool ones. I really liked the time travel plots they did in later seasons too. I thought that was really interesting, the way they kind of did like alternate timelines, and the character of Chris was really interesting, and I liked all of that.
I do. And part of it too was that, you know, with the love dynamic of Leo and Piper, you know, there would be times where they would be separated and that was difficult and things like that. But I felt like her strength and her, just like that part, kind of, you know, the part that I can kind of relate to, which is just very like pragmatic. She never really completely lost it.
Yeah.
In ways that I think most people would not have been able to handle those types of situations, but she was so pragmatic that she just was able to kind of deal. And which, I mean, sounds great in theory, because it's very much how I am, but in other ways, like, sometimes you need to fall apart.
Yeah.
And when that's not in you, it can be really trying. And so I think I loved that when Phoebe and Cole would have their issues, that she would just like go nuts, and she'd go to like a dark place.
Yeah.
And she'd lose herself. Turn into a
mermaid, or, you know.
Yeah, she'd become a mermaid, decide that was a good idea, you know. But to me, that felt, and I think that had to do with the fact they, you know, referred to her as an empath. Like, that's someone who's really tapping into those feelings and just like riding the wave. And I just love that. And like I said, for myself, it was mostly because I find myself more on the Piper side, when every once in a while, it's like, you want to be able to do that. Just let go and just go insane for a minute. And Phoebe kind of took you on those rides, and I loved it.
Yeah, I loved also how both Piper and Phoebe, not so much Paige or Prue, because they kind of were sort of sandwiched to these sort of very different sisters. Like, Piper and Phoebe both really evolved throughout the series.
Yes.
And changed and had these big emotional growth. Like, with Phoebe and Cole, it was this like huge epic thing that they went, you know, ups and downs for years. But the thing I loved about Piper and Leo and their relationship, and how they kind of kept it, continued to grow. Like, they got married and they had kids, and there was still drama in that. They were still solid as a couple, but then they had to deal with all that other stuff that's sometimes you don't get to. It's, you know, once you get past the Cole and Phoebe part of it, you get to the even harder part, which is being a grown up.
No, I agree. And I think that's part of it too, is it's like the whole Cole and Phoebe saga and dynamic was, don't want to say it's easy when the relationship is super passionate, but it's just different. You're kind of not, you know, there's no stagnation. There's no overthinking things or thinking about things. You're just, you're so in the moment, you know, and you're just so flying by the seat of your pants that that was really their relationship. And then, you know, like you said, the Piper Leo relationship was a more kind of like stable, solid, you know, relationship with a foundation. And it's like, it's not always exciting.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's boring as shit, you know, and that's okay. Like that, there is beauty in that, but it shows that contrast of, you know, that kind of a relationship and that kind of foundation and that kind of stability isn't always, you know, terribly exciting. It's just something you can count on.
Yeah. And I mean, they use the format of the show, the fantasy elements, to definitely literalize a lot of what you're talking about. Like, you know, Phoebe, after she breaks up with Cole, she doesn't want to feel anything. So she turns to a mermaid, and mermaids don't have feelings. And also Alyssa Milano gets to be super sexy as a mermaid.
Exactly.
And, or the, you know, they want to be strong, so they get turned into superheroes, or they want to be, you know, there's a great episode where they're feeling, I think it's, who gets turned into a banshee? Like everyone gets turned into something every episode, it seems like. I think Phoebe gets turned into a banshee like after Prue dies, and somebody gets turned into a banshee.
That sounds right.
Because it's just like, they're very angry and they just want to scream about it. I think there's like fury. Yeah. People get turned into all sorts of things in the show. And that was sort of a fun thing they kind of did more and more in like sort of the middle seasons. And I'm sure, I think the actresses have talked about getting kind of sick of, what weird costume are we wearing this week that shows our midriffs? Oh boy.
Yeah. I remember, it's funny, I saw a thing that Alyssa Milano did on Instagram where she was talking about how her daughter hasn't seen an episode of Charmed because her daughter is of the age, as my daughter is, where for whatever reason, they want to wear a crop top. And it's like, you are not old enough to be wearing a crop top. And that's all she wore in Charmed, was either things that look like a bra or a crop top. Like, she's like, so how am I going to show my daughter that and let her see that when every day I fight with her and say, no, you're too young for a crop top.
I just remember, especially like, and you know, props to Alyssa Milano for being able to pull it off, but like some of Phoebe's, like, pants is a really generous word. Like, they were, and I'm sure like this was both setting and following this trend that maybe you youngins don't understand, like how low the pants were in like the early 2000s. Like people, everyone saw everyone's underwear.
Low rise, like, was like, that's the, being generous. Yeah.
It was like, hers were just like, there's like a good, like 5 inches below her belly button. You could see.
Yep.
And like, oh my God, it was like, how are you moving in those?
Exactly. Exactly. Loved, I don't know, there's so many things I loved about the show. I loved the relationships and how different they were from each other. And, but that they kind of explore very, you know, like I said, they explore a very stable type of relationship, and they explore a very passionate, dynamic type of relationship. And, you know, the relationship with the sisters, between the sisters, I thought were really cool. I kind of liked, I wasn't like super devastated when Prue left, because I feel like the overall dynamic shifted in a much better way. But I liked the kind of difficulty between Prue and Phoebe.
Because
then when later, when Paige comes in, it's all much more nicey nice. Which, I mean, is great, except for I did kind of enjoy when they would have their kind of sister battles. I felt that was very like real to life.
So you said you came into it after the show was over. So how did you discover Charmed?
I'm trying to remember. I think it was one of those where it was just on all the time.
Yeah.
And I just started watching it. And then once I started watching it, I was like completely hooked on it. And then I would start watching it from season one. I've literally probably watched every season 7 or 8 times now. It, like I said, it's still on my DVR.
Yeah.
And it still plays. Like I said, it was on this morning and I just binged 3 episodes because it was on. So, and it was the episodes where, Piper finds out she's pregnant with Chris and then finds out who Chris is. Which are like great.
Those are some great episodes. And
yeah, those were great.
Oh, this random person, like, oh, you're my son, and kind of awkward for him. And he is this one, he's like almost fading out of existence. He's like, well, guess my parents had sex. I exist again.
Right. Exactly. Like, okay, that's not weird.
It's like, oh God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was fun. I watched it when it premiered in like, I know it was 1998 because it was the year I started high school, and it was after, like, we can talk about like sort of the genesis of the show, because it was very much kind of owed its existence to The Craft and to Buffy. It was on the same network as Buffy. So, but like there was, you know, there's some controversy because like Andrew Fleming, who wrote The Craft, or directed it, like there was a pilot that he had created that he sent to the WB and they passed on. But then like a year later, the show Charmed comes out with, you know, some witches and kind of a modern setting. He's like, huh, you know, it's definitely different than The Craft, but it has huge influences, especially like the opening song is a song they use on the soundtrack of The Craft.
Oh, that's hilarious. You know, I don't know if I ever realized that. That's hilarious.
Yeah. It's How Soon Is Now by Love Spit Love. And it's like, you know, it's, they use it in The Craft. Cause of course I like wore out my Craft soundtrack when I was, remember CDs. Remember those were things. That was a great soundtrack. And then like, it shows up as the credit song for Charmed. It's like, okay, yeah, you're definitely making the connection for people. Yep. And I always loved their kind of opening shots of San Francisco and all their little montages. So that was the only San Francisco thing about the show.
Oh, 100%.
I've lived in San Francisco and been there. The fact that they can drive at all is not very accurate to the San Francisco. And just, that, you know, not a lot of people, like, I guess they had Daryl, but other than that, not a lot of characters of color in important ways. And like, nary a gay.
No, I was just going to say, and absolutely no, yeah, no.
Yeah, like, maybe one or two like showed up, like, yeah, like that was a pretty straight show for being set in San Francisco. But oh well, I think a lot of shows just like, well, we need someplace in California that's not LA, San Francisco.
Right, exactly.
I feel this also happens like in this is a total tangent, but like Shang-Chi and Kung Fu, like all these, you know, shows or movies with Asian characters are like, oh, well, there's only one city in America where there's Asian people, so we're going to set this in San Francisco. Like, you know, there are Asian people in all over.
Yes.
You don't have to only set Asian movies and shows in San Francisco. It's okay. Like,
we'll believe you if they're in a different town.
Like, you can set it in Vancouver, BC, which is like, there's a part of Vancouver, BC that's just like a tiny Hong Kong. Like, you can just do that. It's fine. So that's my rant. But yeah, not so very San Franciscan. But I did watch it in like high school because, you know, I was a little, you know, baby teen witch, and I'm like, oh, there's a show about witches. I have to watch it. I remember
that. And now you're saying it, when you said it was 1998, I'm like, well, that's why I didn't watch it. I was a junior in high school. So I was,
you're just
like,
too cool.
I was, you know, out hanging out with my boyfriends and, you know, being redonkulous. So that's why I don't think I watched a whole lot of TV in 98, 99, 2000.
Oh, see, I wasn't cool enough to have like boyfriends in high school. So I'm just like, I'm going to watch Charmed and go to choir practice.
That's adorable. Well, I determined where I was in high school by who I was dating at the time. That's how I can figure out what part of high school I was or what age I was. It's, it used to drive Courtney crazy. So.
High school. That's pretty funny. Yes. You guys went to a Catholic high school, right?
She did. I did not. I would visit her at times at her school for like a school dance, and I would just go as like her guest and get yelled at by the nuns for, you know, grinding on the guys and things like that and dancing too close. And all of a sudden this old lady would tap me on the shoulder and I'm like, who are you? Gordy's like, behave. And I'm like, all right.
Oh dear.
So yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I watched it all through high school. I think when I was in college, I didn't have like of TV in my room in college, so I missed like a few seasons that I had to catch up on. But then I remember like watching, like, you know, the final, I missed like the first half of the final season, then I kind of came back, I'm like, where's Leo, what's going on, who is this blonde girl? And I had to look on the air, I'm like, okay. And then watch the finale live. The finale is so good.
It is so good. It is one of the few sitcoms that I think 100% nailed the finale. So many times you're disappointed, and there's nothing to me disappointing about that finale.
It's such a great finale because it literally honors the past. Like, they go to their own past, and then it honors the future. It kind of honors the whole show in like this beautiful way, and kind of says like, all these characters you love, they're gonna be okay. They won the final big battle, and it was just such a loving tribute to the show and the characters. And I just like that. It's one of my favorite series finales of all time. And there have been, you know, a series finale, it's hard to do after like 8 years, especially, you know, you're in season two of Supernatural. You'll get to the Supernatural series finale. I'll be curious of your thoughts on that, but they did not do it as well as Charmed. I'll just say that, but they also had to deal with COVID and other bullshit.
Did it end that recently?
It ended in 2020.
Okay. I was going to say, because when I saw it and I was watching it and I was just like, 15 years. I'm like, this is insane.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I guess that makes sense. Cause I was wondering that too. I'm like, I thought this was not that far from when Charmed had started, but yeah, if it didn't end until 2020, then that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It ran forever. And I think they were running at like the same time at one point.
For a couple of years, probably. Yeah.
I think so. Charmed ended in what, like 2006? And so, yeah, they were right there at the end when Supernatural had started. So, and there's some Charmed actors that show up on Supernatural. Like, there's a lot of crossover.
I think that's part of what's fun when you kind of watch it and you start to see the crossovers and the one thing referencing another and things like that. That's always fun. I liked, you know, one of the things I liked about the series finale was, you know, what they do is incredible, you know, and they're fighting demons and they're fighting these battles and these epic things. And it's the concept that the one generation kind of hands things off to the next generation and then they get to be done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it just gives you this good feeling of, because so many times in the show, you know, they talk about and think about, you know, what would life be like if we didn't have to do these things? If we could just be normal, if we could just live, you know, and just live our lives. And so the fact that to a certain extent, they ultimately do get that, which is, you know, one of their kind of biggest wishes, to just be women who have lives and families and not have to just be, you know, kicking demon ass all the time. So I think I like that storyline, that they kind of give you that closure of, they do get some peace.
Yeah, it was really nice. So I think you already answered this, but like, so of like the three powers, like the moving things or freezing things or seeing the future, would you take freezing things as your Charmed One power?
I think
I would not want Phoebe premonitions. Like, that's a no.
No, I would not want the premonitions. Those suck.
Or to awkwardly fly once every five episodes and then forget that you can just levitate.
Right. And yeah, that you just like float around and
you need to kick a bad guy in the face.
I would say, honestly, I think if I had to choose, I think I would choose, I really like Paige's power, that she can, one, I think the orbing is badass. I think that's really fun.
Yeah.
But also that she can move things and heal people. I really like that whole white lighter kind of being able to help and heal. I think that's pretty cool. Definitely I like Piper's freezing power, but I think if I had to like pick which one of them whose powers I would most like, I think it would probably actually be Paige. Because I really like the fact that she can, you know, move things and orb and heal. And I don't know, she has kind of the cooler powers.
Yeah. She sort of like upgraded when they brought her on.
Yeah.
And I like that they're like, we can't do this exactly the same way as Prue's power. We're going to make the fact that she is, you know, half white lighter, something, you know, they created for the show. It's like, why not have angels? Sure. Fine. And apparently they can father children. Cool.
Exactly.
Like, that's an interesting loophole. You brought someone back from the dead and okay there.
Exactly. I think if I could have anyone's powers, I think it would probably be Paige's, because like I said, I think the whole white lighter thing, I always like, and it's funny because anytime someone's injured and Leo's right there, I'm always just like, okay, come on. Like, she doesn't need to have a bruise. Like, you're standing right there. Like, let's just take care of this.
Yeah. That's an interesting thing. I wonder if that was tough for them. You know, I guess that we talked about this at the beginning where like they weren't able to use their powers, quote unquote, for personal gain. You know, for the having a healer around there is useful because you don't have to have someone injured for several episodes. But having a character like that powerful is also really tough for writers because you're like, well, why can't Leo like go fix everything? And so you have to kind of, you know, hobble that character a little bit. And this is something, you know, again, to relate to Supernatural, like they have problems where like, oh, we have a character now that's like their best friend who's too powerful. We have to make him not as powerful. So his powers will be all over the place every episode. And so like, that's tough as a writer. So I don't know if the writers were really thinking about that so deeply. There seems to be like some trouble in the writer's room for this show is what I've heard.
That's funny.
Have you heard any about all the backstage controversies and troubles with the show? Like, what's your understanding of all the
all I know is the only thing I really kind of have heard about that, I don't have a whole lot of the scuttlebutt about behind the scenes, which I would love to hear, is mostly just like the whole fact that, you know, Shannon Doherty didn't get along with Alyssa Milano, just like she didn't get along with Kelly Garth on 90210, and that Aaron Spelling had tried to give her another shot because he really liked her, and then she couldn't pull it off the Alyssa Milano, and so she got the boot. But other than that, I don't know a whole lot of the scuttlebutt with the actresses or the characters.
Yeah, I mean, like, definitely with like the Shannon Doherty's departure, that's sort of the, you know, widely understood version is that she just didn't get along with Alyssa. And I think, you know, whether she was asked to, like, I don't know if they gave them like an either or, like me or her, and maybe Alyssa was cheaper or they liked working with her more, who knows, but you know, she left and they got another sister in, which was such a big deal, like, especially for me. And like, how are they going to do, like, the whole show is about like these three sisters, but I thought that was really interesting actually where it ended up going. But there was also like a lot of, it was not a smooth running show, like behind the scenes in terms of the people like writing and producing the show. Like, I've heard some not great things about how the writer's room was run. Like, the main creator, Constance Burge, like, she left after season three because she didn't like the environment. And then like Brad Kern was sort of the main person running it. And I've heard like he was not liked by the people who worked there or the actresses. And that's one of the reasons why like Holly and Alyssa become producers, because they were doing so much work on set. They were basically the ones in charge on set because there was like no authority from the writer's room or the producers. So they kind of took on that role. And that's why, again, why, you know, Phoebe and Piper get so much more focused than Paige does in later seasons, because she wasn't running the show.
Yeah. And you see a lot of that, of them getting producer, you know, being named producers and stuff like that on the show. And I also like, I definitely enjoyed that they kind of worked Holly Combs's pregnancies into the show.
Yeah.
I love that they did that, actually. I think that that's, you know, kind of the whole part of female empowerment.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can be kicking ass and living your life and doing all these things and be a parent and be a mother. Like, you can do both. It doesn't have to be one or the other.
Yeah, that was great. And I loved, like, she was literally invincible while she was pregnant. That was great. That was, and I think she and Cole are just like killing each. They're both invincible at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Phoebe gets turned into a mummy at that point. So many great, weird costumes. Do you have any favorite of like the weird things they got turned into or costumes? There's just so many.
I don't know about if there's, I'm trying to think, they did so many weird costumes. I liked, one of my favorite aspects of Phoebe was when she was married to Cole, Mm-hmm. And so she was like, and she was pregnant. And so she was like trying to embrace the demonic.
Oh yeah.
Like her
little demon baby.
Yeah. That was like one of my favorite kind of portrayals of Phoebe when she's like kind of trying to, you know, accept this darker side of herself. And she's like making demons explode and they're all afraid of her. And she's like the evil demon queen. And like, I love that. I mean, it, you know, it's not who she is. So it's good that it was a snippet, but I love that it had that dynamic of, you know, her trying to embrace this other side of her. Cause I think it's that great example of we all have a good and a bad.
Mm-hmm.
And just because we have a bad doesn't mean like that's who we are or where we want to stay, but we all have the ability to like do some fucked up stuff if we're, you know, in a pretty pissed off. So I think that's one of my favorite kind of character turns for Phoebe was when she was like the evil queen. I love that. I thought that was just so much fun.
I really enjoyed what like they got turned into goddesses at one point for some.
I remember that.
That was really fun. And like Piper becomes like the true like earth goddess and, you know, crossing the storm because she's upset because her
Phoebe was the goddess of love.
And then, you know, Paige was the war goddess.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was some great ones. And I did like the mermaids. I thought that was fun.
The mermaid was super fun. I liked it. Was, I mean, it was okay. It was fun when she got turned into a mermaid, but I really liked the episode where they saved the mermaid.
That was a fun one.
That was a really fun one. And so like she's out in the rain and then all of a sudden her like legs turn to flippers. And I was like,
it's just what happens.
You know, exactly. You know.
Yeah.
I really like that one. And the one where Wyatt creates like brings a dragon to life from the TV. I love that. So it's like I really liked what they did with a lot of, like, I felt like they used the kids well. Like, it didn't, the kids didn't become the focus, but they had interesting little storylines and little plot lines that came with them. And I felt like they handled that, you know, just in a really good way. Because I feel like sometimes with sitcoms, as they progress, you know, if there's a couple, then it's like, okay, well, you've been married long enough. Now we have to throw a kid in there. And then all of a sudden the show becomes like kid focused.
Yeah.
And I felt like this never really did that. It just, the kids existed. And so they would have their own little side plots, but it was never like completely dominated on the fact that she was a mother. It was dominated on her relationship with her sisters and fighting, you know, fighting evil.
Yeah. I like the one where like it's the see no evil, hear no evil.
Yes.
No evil. Like that was a fun episode. Like they always had like fun little conceits. I liked those.
Yes.
I was thinking about, I love the episode, I think it's season 3, where they go back in time to like the first Hallowell, like they go to Salem.
Yes.
That when they go to really Salem. Cool.
That was a fun one. And I like, see, personally, I like outfits like that just because, you know, I would love to dress like that. So for me, I think that's fun. No, I really like that. I liked all of the, I also like the, I liked all the episodes where they bring in their mom or the grandma.
Oh yeah. I was going to say their mom and Gran is great.
I love when they bring in Gran. And I remember, I really liked the episode where she comes to do the Wiccaning.
Yeah.
Find
like her boyfriend shows up.
Boy, and she was like not having it. And then her old boyfriend pops up and just little things like that. Like, everything had drama. You know what I mean? Like it couldn't be as simple as a Wiccaning, right? Yeah. Like, cause she shows up and we can't have a Wiccaning. It's a boy. Like we only have girls. What the hell's going on here? And just those little storylines. I loved it when they would bring Graham back and their mom and do those little flashbacks and things like that. And then, you know, somehow the dad just deals with it.
Yeah. The dad's just
like that's totally normal.
Okay, fine.
There's my ghost ex-wife that left me for her white lighter because that's totally normal. So we're just gonna hang out.
I love how they're like, yeah, we see the ghost of our mom and our grandma like all the time, but not so much our dead sister. She's just like not coming back. Oops, are we frozen?
Exactly.
Yeah. Except the one time she comes back is like as a dog.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, I really liked the episode. It was really interesting. It was the episode where I think it was for one of, was it for one of the weddings? I can't remember if it was for the wedding or if it was for a wickening, but it was where Gran's there, the dad's there, the mom's there, and then the girls start bickering. It couldn't have been the wedding because the kids were there. And Wyatt and Chris had been bickering, and the Gran does a spell to make the boys stop bickering. And so instead, the girls start bickering like children. And then their mom and their dad have to work together to get the girls to behave themselves, which is not something they've ever done before because they literally never raised them together.
Oh, great. Yeah.
And so I like that because, like I said, it has those characters and it has that, you know, again, because that's a total normal thing, right? Have to deal with your ghost ex-wife to get the children to mind. That happens all the time.
But, you know, sometimes you have to deal with your ex and co-parenting. And
exactly.
It happens. But exactly. Yeah. Oh, there is one episode, which I would say might be the worst episode of the series, is about like when they're trying to get to the Akashic, somebody's trying to get the Akashic records. And there are those monsters with like the things that come out of their hand. I think that like poke people. And in that episode, which is very bad, is that it's Misha Collins from Supernatural. It's his first episode of television. And so I always found it amusing that Misha was in the worst episode of Charmed.
That's hilarious.
And because I'm like, oh, I recognize this guy when I saw him on Supernatural. I'm like, oh yeah, he was in that really bad episode. And like Hank from Breaking Bad is in there. There's like a really good cast. And it's not good.
And it's a terrible episode.
Misha's told stories about like how he didn't know, like it was his first time on TV ever. And he like didn't know how to like hit a mark or do much. And so Leslie Milano was very helpful to him. And for his first on-screen kiss was with her. And he was supposed to come back for several episodes that he didn't.
They're like, no, we're good. Thanks.
Yeah. So that one comes up for me. That was sort of has a special place in my heart. That was just, it's not. Yeah, there's certainly some, not all the episodes are winners.
No, I haven't watched as many of the last season, and yeah. I don't know why that is for me, but for me, they're just not as, you know, they're more focused on the two new witch sisters, and I don't know, for some reason, I got kind of lost in the last season. That's not my favorite. If I had to pick a season that for me was kind of the biggest, like, meh, meh, it's probably that one. But like I said, the season finale, I was like 100% behind.
Yeah, like the eighth season was like very weird because they had to like cut a lot of budgets. Like, so they couldn't afford to have Brian Krause in every episode anymore. He's like, okay, well, Leo will get frozen for half of the season. Okay, that's tough. And but then they brought in like these two new characters, Billy and whatever, Chrissy, I don't know. And they,
Billy,
you know,
and Christy, yeah.
And they were basically like, they were like, maybe they can take over the show because like the actresses were pretty firm, like, this is our last season. Like we're done. And they're like, oh, well, maybe we'll just like keep Charmed going, but without the three witches, that could work. And thankfully they didn't try to do that, but it's always amusing that that's like Kaylee Cuoco's one of her first like big role. I'm like, oh hey, it's Penny from,
I know, it's so funny. That's one of those where it's, yeah, it's weird when, because I knew her as Penny before I ever watched Charmed, and so then when I saw that, I was like, wait, what, how is she in this, when did this happen?
Yeah, it's kind of, it's, those are strange episodes, and they try and kind of make her to like a superhero. It's yeah, not my favorites. But.
And maybe that's also part of why it's not my favorite, is because I knew her as Penny before I tried to watch that season. So it was like, I don't know about this. It just kind of threw a whole level of odd into watching those episodes.
No, have you watched the Flight Attendant?
I have not watched that yet.
That's, Kaylee Cuoco is phenomenal in that show. It's a great show. Season 2 is going to be starting in a few weeks, so I recommend Flight Attendant like wholeheartedly. Really great series, and Kaylee's amazing in it because she just plays this disaster of a character.
That's fantastic.
So yeah,
Flight Attendant. I'll definitely have to check that out. But yeah, no, I think the thing that's I also think it's good that, and I don't know if this was intentional, I don't know if this was just them not paying attention, but I think in the beginning of Charmed, they kind of wanted to be very kind of Wicca.
Yeah.
And like almost were trying on some level, even though it was terrible. But then they just kind of let that go, it seems like, and we're just like, okay, never mind. This is just its own thing.
Yeah. It was the way that their influence of like actual Wicca and magic was pretty interesting. Like they definitely tried like the first few episodes. It's like, yeah, you know, they have like all these like Wiccan symbolism and they didn't use any pentagrams. They used, you know, the triquetra. And then they definitely moved away from that. Sorry, am I frozen? Are we frozen?
No, nope, there we go.
There we go. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they moved away from the Wicca influence, which is kind of fine because like it was very like weird the first few seasons or first season that they tried to like put like the Wiccan reed in there and other stuff.
And I feel like it's funny. I saw an interview that Matt Damon did on one of those late shows, Tonight Show, something like that. And he was talking about how difficult it is to do a Boston accent. And so it's like supposedly like the hardest accent for an actor to be able to do. So he's like, if you can't do it, which most people can't, unless they're like native, don't, because yeah, you're going to like ruin your part. And I feel like that's kind of like with Charmed is it's like, you're not going to actually do it. So just don't touch it. Don't walk near it. Pretend it's not there, because if you try and kind of do it, like it's just going to be a nightmare.
And yeah. And it's so weird when like people are trying to, you know, make a sci-fi TV, you know, sci-fi fantasy TV show about like an actual religion that people are practicing and turning exactly. it into like, you know, oh, it gives you superpowers, or, oh, there are people out there who have superpowers, but they're also, there's a religious component. It was like kind of murky.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah. It's like, you either have to completely embrace it and be like factual and like do it, or just don't touch it. Just don't touch it. Just don't call it something totally different and we'll all believe you. Like, it's totally fine. Just say it's all imaginary. It's based on things that are imaginary. Like, that's so much better than trying to pretend that you're, you know, kind of discussing something that is actually a thing.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's not a terribly accurate portrayal of Wicca, but do you think that there's anything like accurate in the way that they use magic that can be like applied to any magical practice nowadays, or is it just like pure fantasy? I think some of their rhymes. I like some of their spells.
I love the spells that they do. Absolutely. Yeah. I definitely love that. I think that in some ways, you know, it is all fanciful, but in the concept of, and that's where also I think the whole personal gain thing, we just threw that out the window after like the first season, because so much of what they do all has to do with personal gain. You know, not doing something so you don't lose your job, right? Well, that's 100% personal gain.
Yeah.
You know, or doing something so that you can then, you know, pass your test. Like, they just throw it out the window. I would say one of the things that I like is the fact that they kind of show that you can utilize your power, you know, to mm-hmm. to help you, to better you, to make things, you know, easier, better, more tolerable, whatever. But that there is consequences for that,
mm-hmm.
and a burden that comes with having that kind of ability, that, you know, yeah, it's great because you can do things that you want to do, but then you may have an obligation to help other people in the same way that, you know, you can help yourself. And so I like that it kind of shows that component, that dynamic. You know, I think that it shows a lot of use of you know, obviously we don't do, you know, throwing banishing potions, right? But
yeah, though, don't you wish you would someday?
Oh, I would love to. I would absolutely love to.
I mean, I guess if you threw like a potion at someone, they probably would be like, what the hell, and walk away. But
yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah, you could probably get them to, you know, walk away just because you threw something at them. But I think the rhyming in spells, I think that's something a lot of us, if you write a spell, you kind of probably do it rhyme, similarly. Right?
Like,
but I think, you know, so I definitely think there's things like that that are kind of, you know, true to life, and, you know, the use of candle magic, making, you know, making things, you know, putting concoctions and things together. I mean, that's definitely something that, you know, a lot of us do. And like I said, candle magic and writing spells and,
They set a really high standard for a very high standard for how cool your Book of Shadows should look.
Oh yeah. Like, are you kidding me? Like, and it has like everything from all times. Like, sorry. No.
Yeah. That was great. I do have the DVD, the full series DVD set, and it's in like a replica. It's a smaller, but it's in a replica of the Book of Shadows.
Oh, that's awesome. The
pages. It's such, it's like my favorite. Like, I've got rid of most of my DVDs because I have streaming now. But like, it's still, I love my Charmed DVDs. They're great.
I love that.
And it has all the music is correct too. I think like Charmed has the same problem that Supernatural and other WB shows have, is if you watch it on streaming, all the music is messed up because the music rights didn't get carried over into streaming, because like they were, these contracts with music rights were negotiated before streaming existed.
Oh, and so
like, if you watch it on Netflix, like the opening song is not the correct opening song. And there's a lot of music cues that aren't right. And it's a problem for season one of Supernatural on Netflix too. So this is a very nerdy thing, but yeah, I gotta watch it on. Watch it on TNT or watch it on DVD. Don't watch it on Netflix. I don't know if it's even on Netflix even now, but
I don't know if Charmed is. I'm watching Supernatural right now on Netflix.
Yeah.
But I usually watch Charmed on TNT. That's usually what just gets.
Yeah, Supernatural's always on after Charmed.
Yeah,
like, okay, you've got some sisters now, some brothers. Yes, I want to hear your update. How are you enjoying Supernatural? I've gotten some texts from you, but
so
I've been watching your posts too.
I'm so obsessed. Like bought their tarot deck.
I love that tarot deck. I love the texture of that tarot deck.
Yes,
it's this beautiful kind of like almost like, not like, it's like very thin plastic almost. I don't know.
Yes, what it's thick. Yeah, it's yeah, much it's so more thick easy than your to card.
Like. Shuffle, because like I have like some tarot decks, like I love the Modern Witch tarot deck. It's this beautiful tarot deck. It's impossible to shuffle. So like you get these beautiful decks and they're like so thick you can't shuffle them. But the Supernatural tarot deck, I really do like it. Some of the characters, I'm like, I wouldn't have put them there, but yeah. But oh yeah, by the way, like, the entire tarot deck is spoilers for the show. So
yes, I know.
And like, I love, you're it. Like, who's this guy?
I love it. Oh, I've told you before. I've already like,
yeah,
I already had to, as soon as I found out, how did I find out? I heard something about Sam and Demon Blood.
Oh yeah.
And so I immediately found the spoiler. I'm like Googling. Oh, yeah. I was like, what does this mean? Cause I don't, I'm not going to wait. Like, that's not how I work. I want all the spoilers and I want them like immediately. So, but yeah, so I've been looking at like the major arcana and like looking up certain characters, and surprisingly, a lot of the characters in the deck have already appeared.
Yeah.
By the middle of season two. Like, I already recognize a ton of them. And so, which tells me that a lot of characters clearly stay, you know what I mean? Like, once they got incorporated, they stay the long haul.
Yeah. Or, well, I mean, like, death means nothing on Supernatural.
Right.
Like, death, you know, spoiler, death dies.
Right.
At some point. And then there's a new death. So yeah, but I'm glad you're enjoying it. And you've decided you're a Dean girl.
I'm 100% Team Dean. Oh okay. My gosh. I am so obsessed with Dean. He's fabulous.
He's so good. I mean, Jensen Ackles is really, really good. He's great.
He is 100% the Samwise to Sam's Frodo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's the character that's supposed to be like the cool one and like the one that does all of the things, but really the hero is the guy behind that guy, saving that guy's ass consistently and just keeping the whole train running. Like, that's Dean to me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great description of him. He's very much, you know, he's there to take care of his giant brother.
Yep. Yeah, no, I love. And the tarot deck is already, unfortunately for Courtney, given some very accurate readings. So I warned her. I'm like, she's like, I want a reading. I'm like, are you sure?
Are you open to giving me like a one card reading from the Supernatural Tarot deck?
Will I?
On the fly?
Sure. I actually posted one on my blog this morning. This morning we got the Four of Pentacles or Pentagrams.
Oh, you and you had Bella, who you haven't met.
Let me see. Okay, hold on. I've actually got them out. I'm going to pull one. I'm actually going to pull this one because this one wanted to pull out this morning. I pulled out two and I was like, okay, which one do I actually need? And I grabbed one. I think this was the other. Queen of Goblets.
Oh.
And that is, isn't she the...
Let's see, if you show me, I'll tell you who
is she the bartender or the bartender's
daughter? Ellen. Yeah, oh, she's a bartender.
It's Ellen. Her.
She's my
question. So wonderful. Queen of Goblets, let's see, in here they say for the Queen of Goblets, let's see here, we've got, oh, so Page of Goblets is her daughter, so that makes sense. So for Queen of Goblets, it says the Queen of Goblets is a nurturing but tough matriarchal figure, much like hunter, mother, and saloon owner Ellen Harville. Ellen is very protective of her daughters, Jo. The sort of caring, fierce mother bear energy perfectly represents the Queen of Goblets. This tarot card is a reminder to be nurturing and compassionate with those that you love.
Oh, so I should.
So maybe you need to be patient today.
Maybe. Parenting is hard.
Yes. As we learn. Yes, it is.
Especially when they start talking back. Yeah, when they start like unlocking doors and talking back, it's just, oh man.
Yeah. Oh, and it's just beginning. I hate saying that, but it's true. It's just true. Like in the show, you know, where Jo goes off with the guys and then eventually just leaves, you know, she goes back to her mom, but then the guys find out that she just went off to hunt again.
Mm-hmm.
You have to kind of let them go and do their thing. They turn into their own little people.
Did you get to the Tall Tales episode with the slow dancing alien?
I have not had a slow dancing alien yet.
Yeah, you'd remember
season 2, episode 10, I want to say.
Okay, you're very close to slow dancing
aliens. Slow dancing aliens. I did hear that there's upcoming going to be somewhere in season 2 a Gilmore Girls reference.
Yeah, because, you know,
super excited about.
Oh, yeah, I think that's in Hollywood Babylon. That's,
yes.
218. God, I know way too much about the show. I thought I wrote this book. I'm like, I'll finally get all this out of my head and into a book. And like, no, it's all still there on the hard drive.
That's hilarious. But, so it's 218. Okay. I knew it was in season 2.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited about that one.
Yeah. There's some great season 2. I know we should be talking about Charm, but like season 2 Supernatural, I think it's actually one of the strongest seasons of the series. It's really good.
I can see that. Well, and like I said, there's a lot of characters that got introduced in this season.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them
survive for a few seasons.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely hooked on it.
Great. And then
I actually looked to see if Charmed had a tarot deck.
I know. I don't know if they have enough, because Supernatural went on for so long and has so many really vivid side characters that they could really easily do that. I don't know if Charmed could do it. You'd have to kind of go some deep cuts with the demons, but yeah, I don't know if Charmed could do a full tarot deck.
That is true, actually, because there's most of the rotating characters are demons.
Yeah,
they don't have that many good guy characters that cycle through.
Yeah, and Supernatural like has some pretty significant, like long lasting supporting characters. And I mean, like everyone dies 18 times, so it's all
it's great when
death it's himself as a character, it's like pretty easy call for who's going to be the death card.
Yeah,
like, okay, cool, there's death.
Yeah, I like, yeah, I don't know, I think a lot of the things it's almost funny because I feel like the things that I liked about Supernatural are the things that they're kind of different than Charmed. Charmed was very light.
Yeah, Charmed is like a not cartoon.
Scary at all.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, the good guys always win. And it's always kind of, you know, it's like Charmed is the Full House version of Supernatural, right? Yeah. Supernatural is more the, you know, shit doesn't always work out. And sometimes bad things happen and it's not resolved right away.
I don't think Supernatural would exist, though, if Charmed hadn't had the success it did. I think that, like, when they were developing Supernatural, like, Eric Kripke, like, in the room kind of changed his pitch about these guys in a road trip. He's like, and they're brothers. And I'm sure some executives like, oh, it's like Charmed, but with boys. And they're like, oh, yeah. And, like, I think that's one of the reasons I didn't watch Supernatural initially. I'm like, I don't need it. I already have a sibling show with magic. Why do I need another one? Like, oh, because it has, you know, violence and homoeroticism. So, yep.
And I remember you mentioned that happens in your book that you discussed that a lot of that. Is that happened with Dean in later episodes or Sam?
Oh, well, I mean, like, by season two, people were shipping them together, which is not my thing. But Dean is definitely the one who's like, you know, he can have chemistry with like a lamp. And so he's the one
that's true.
Ship with like everyone, literally everyone gets shipped with Dean, but he meets his boyfriend in season four. So you'll see.
Season four. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he's a pretty good entrance in season four.
I like it.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the text messages.
I love it. Yeah. I'm like I said, I think I'm almost through season two. It usually takes me about a week to get through a season.
Okay, so you've got
you're
a few months.
Hang on with me for we've got another like 3.5 months. So by midsummer, I will be through this, which is perfect because your book comes out in the fall, right?
No, it's already out.
It's already out. Oh my god! So see the pressure is building because I want to watch all the seasons before I read the book.
Well, the book is meant to be like read along with the
show. So should I do that? Should I just
start? Yeah, just grab the book.
And I love spoilers. Okay.
Yeah, I have like all the spoilers like separated out. But like you just like you watch an episode and you like then you read the commentary. And so
all right. I'm ordering it as we're talking. Awesome. I'm ordering the book. Because that's so who I am. Like I'm all about I make people mad all the time because they watch something and they're like, no, I want you to watch it for yourself. I'm like, just tell me what happens or I'm gonna Google it. Like either way, I'm gonna walk away knowing what happens.
I have like a lot of stuff. You're like, oh yeah, you know, this is the first of 17 times Dean dies. Or, you know, like I also talk about like how in the spoiler sections of each episode, I talk about how things are like getting foreshadowed. Cause like, hey, you know, this is foreshadowing how this season's going to end. And they actually do some good foreshadowing. If you know where to look for it.
I love it. I love it so much. And which was the season that you said that you think that there was a character that might have been based off of you?
That's not till season 13.
13. Okay. So I got a ways to go.
Shows up as, and I don't put that in the book. That seemed a bit arrogant to put that in the book, but yeah, there's a character named Jessica who's a Reaper.
I love
who
it.
Who shows up. Who's in highly named after me.
I love it.
And the writer who wrote that episode is the one who writes the flight attendant. Starring Kelly Cuoco.
Oh, that's crazy. That's great.
So he's a really great, and I'm not saying this because he may be named a character after me, but you know, he's a great writer, Steve Yockey. And so everyone watch The Flight Attendant. Go rewatch Charmed and Supernatural. You'll be happy. And also everyone watch Our Flag Means Death. Have you watched that yet? The Gay Pirates?
I have not watched Gay Pirates. Speaking
of homoeroticism.
I'm like just going to, your new place in my world is to tell me what I need to watch. Because I won't find it myself, but I will follow your instructions. See, I won't listen to Courtney.
Okay.
That's precedent. That's principle. That was set in stone like 29 years ago. So we can't deviate from that. So you can be the one that tells me what to watch, knowing I can't watch scary things. That's a requirement.
Oh, yeah. Our Flag Means Death, isn't that? It's like, have you watched What We Do in the Shadows?
I don't know if I've seen that one.
But I think you guys had like a guest on from What We Do in the Shadows. She was the cooking competition gal who was
yes.
So yeah, What We Do in the Shadows is like, you know, the weird vampires. Like what Our Flag Means Death is like What We Do in the Shadows, but with pirates almost. It's very similar.
Pirates.
It's a very a silly but sweet show with like pirates.
I love it. So. I love it. Yeah. No, especially after Courtney made me watch Wicker Man, she's just done. Oh. She has lost all suggestion privileges.
Which one did she make? We did an episode on
the old Wicker one. Man. The okay. old one. I didn't sleep for 2 days, and people think I'm kidding when I say I did not sleep for 2 days. Like, my husband was furious. And after that was like, no more of these, because he also was like, what the shit did we just watch? What just happened in our lives? And I mean, he at least was able to sleep at night, but I was just like, no, I couldn't close my eyes, because every time I close my eyes, I see someone being burned alive. And I'm just like, it was awful. It was horrible.
That's so, why my wife won't let me
to make suggestions.
Yeah. I made us watch Paranormal Activity once, and she's like, no more, you don't get to pick any more movies.
Yeah. No. So I will absolutely, I'm buying the fan guide. I literally just purchased it, and I'm going to start binge watching it, or I'm going to start reading it as I'm binge watching the episodes, because yeah, I love spoilers. Spoilers are the best.
Yeah. There's like, most episodes have like a spoiler section and then also like a ship section. So I talk about the romance stuff separately, in case people don't want to read about the romantic stuff, even though that's like my main, all my one star reviews on Amazon are like, you made it too gay. Why do you have to talk about
it? You made it too gay.
It's like, then like, no, the show made it gay, guys.
Right. Like, it's not like, my
not,
fault.
It's not my fault that they just keep staring at each other's mouths. Like,
yeah. Like, that's kind of a thing.
It's like, sorry. Well, thank you for coming on and talking about two of my favorite shows.
I love it. I'm super excited. I love coming on, and hey, you know what? Maybe now we just have to have an episode where we talk about Supernatural.
Yeah,
we'll
do Kanani's recap of Supernatural.
I'll do a whole, as I'm reading your book, I can tell everyone how fabulous your book is, because I'm super excited. Yeah. I love spoilers. That's probably mostly why I watch these things when they're done and everyone else knows what they are, because by then people don't feel bad about giving me spoilers, because mm-hmm. I love spoilers.
Yeah. Yeah. My main spoiler is Dean dies a lot.
A lot.
Like, a lot. There's one episode where he dies like 104 times. It's one of the best episodes of the series. You'll get there next week, I think.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. All right. Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Real Magic. As always, if you enjoy the show, please give us a like, a subscribe. Make sure you follow us on social media at Real Magic Pod. We are moving to a monthly schedule right now because life is so hectic. Sorry about that. Hopefully we'll be back to bi-weekly sometime in the fall. But as for now, things are going to go to a monthly schedule. So we will see you back in May for another witchy movie. And until then, remember, power of three will set you free. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, cruel world.
Bye-bye, cruel world.
Goodbye to life.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye to
yoga.